Now, these are what you call an LST, this landing ship troop. So they got up here and they ran down these. And then the little ones I was talking about is the LCA was in the davits of the mothership. And here they are here, these little ones. Huh. That carried a platoon of men. And a little flat bottom thing that went on the shore. And the whole front dropped down, and then out you ran.
And what was your experience upon landing on the beach?
Well, as I say, we had a platoon in the one of these little crafts, and I was sitting in the front of the center here, and on the side of the craft it all carved out Africa, a certain date. The other assault it went in on, all carved out on a penknife. And it said, June 44 with a question mark. Because they didn't know where we were going. Uh-huh. They knew they were going in by signals. And it was quite an experience when you went in and you touched down and the front door opened. And all you could see was people firing at you. Uh-huh. It's quite an experience. Salamanca Barracks. No, that was a training school in England. There's only three Canadians on that. It was a British course. These chaps here are mostly British.
It's in the company and platoon commander's course?
Yes, and it was an integrated course between Canadian and British, and all the instructors were British people who had been in Africa or in combat before. So this is when we went up on the course to give us a taste of a different type of training.
Okay, let's get back to D-Day. Mm-hmm. And your experiences on that day. Is there anything that stands out in your mind, or would you like to move ahead?
As I say, it was quite an experience, from basic training to tactical training, and suddenly be thrown into the real thing. It was very heartbreaking to see all the fellows drop beside you. And damn good fellas went. No, and as I say, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. No. Mm-hmm. I'm through it. I wouldn't want to go through it again, or I wouldn't want my sons to go through it, or any person that I knew going through it. Well, I knew what I was going through. All the wives are sitting at home, didn't know a darn thing, and they were only getting what was released. And I know it was quite an experience for my wife to suddenly get a telegram, as a lot of people did in Victoria, that fortunately I was only hit.
When did that happen?
That happened in July. I got through the shoulder and the arms. But she gets a telegram, and it's kind of rough. She's sort of afraid to open the telegram. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of them received the Dear John one. She didn't, but... And then I wrote and told her that I'd be coming back. I came back on the... strange enough, on the New Amsterdam, which is the original from the Person cruise ship. That was a hospital ship that landed in Halifax.
What month was that?
Oh gosh, I forget the month. but I do know that we had a hospital car attached to the standard passenger train coming from Halifax to Vancouver. And at somewhere up in the interior of British Columbia, a major got on the car and said something about, yes, I would be met at the wharf at Little Shaughnessy Hospital. I said, oh, thank you very much, sir. And when I got off the wharf in Vancouver at the CNR, my wife was waiting, so I stepped over the barrier, and we boarded the midnight boat and came to Victoria. So I was AWL, you might say. But then I got a phone call from Shaughnessy. They knew where I was, so I had to go back in there for about four operations, and I was in there for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And during, when did you leave the Army?
1946.
So you stayed at, you never went back to Europe?
No, I was boarded out.
Yeah.
And no, I did not go back. And I was attached to the Scottish after, but it was quite a different thing to be in the peacetime force. After being in the peacetime force, the active force, and then go back to peacetime, then I packed it up.
Yeah.
I did not stay.
What was it like being a soldier who was at D-Day and hit and then went back to Victoria while the war was still going on? How were you received?
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, there was all the hoopla then of the saving bonds going on. And they were recruiting everybody they could to go out and try and promote savings bonds, but I got away with that. I didn't do it. But no.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, or any topic that we haven't discussed?
Well, you talk about feelings. When I came back from my commission, I had to go up to Glasgow, and to go to Glasgow, and we went to the wharf, and to board a boat to come back to Canada. Well, I got on board a boat, which I found out later was a tender. And we got on board this boat. There were somewhere about 2,000 German POWs with us, coming back here to a camp in the prairies. So we got on board this boat in Glasgow and sailed out in the fog. And out of the fog loomed this big hulk, and it turned out to be the Queen Elizabeth I. Well, and then coming across the Atlantic on that, the bow of the Queen Elizabeth would be a good 80 feet high. And there were waves going right over the top of it, right up over the bow. And the Queen Elizabeth I had been refitted at the dry dock in Victoria for a troop ship. And there's nothing but plywood nailed over the luxury staterooms, and all the floors were covered with heavy plywood, and 2x4 bunks. There were 16 of us in one cabin, and about a foot and a half space in between the upper and lower bunks. You just crept in there and that was it. But it was quite a feeling with the Air Forces working the way they were going to suddenly find the next morning you're out on the Atlantic all by yourself. But that was a pretty fast ship.
Did you ever have any contact with the POWs, Germans?
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is the humorous side. They had these big pots, stew pots. I forget what the heck you called them. Anyway, they had this, and it was kind of stormy. And this big Dixie this POW was carrying, and he became seasick, and he vomited in the stew pot. And that went into the mess hall. I don't know who did have it at the POW, but that day when we were going to have dinner, ours was stew, and I was violently ill. Yeah. No, that was... It was a beautiful ship, but it was all boarded up. You couldn't see a thing. And it didn't come to light until we were down in Long Beach about 5 years ago. And my wife and I went on board the Queen Mary down there. When I was up in the bow of that thing and looking down to the water, I thought, my God, those waves are pretty high when they're coming up over the top. Yeah. But, you know, it's hard to believe that one ship like that could ply the water without being noticed. What with the aircraft they had and the U-boats.
Is there anything else you'd like to ask?
No, is there anything else you can think of? But I'm starting to dig out all these other paper clippings. I played for the Canadian Scottish soccer team overseas.
What was that like?
Well, three of us played. Three of us played.
What sort of league was it, or how?
Well, we played the best of Canada. The Essex Scottish, the Toronto Scottish, on eliminations, and then we played the British. And we won the Canadian Army title over there in 1944. Another Victoria chap who didn't make it back was Tony Hope. He and I played for Victoria West here before we went.
What other sorts of diversions were there for the soldiers overseas when they were still in England?
Wine, women, and song. No, I enjoyed, and so did a lot of the others, the atmosphere in the British pub. Mm-hmm. You went in for a glass of beer, but they played darts, shove apne, shuffleboard. It was more of a social gathering than it was just going to have a beer. Yeah. I just said it's a scary experience, but it's something I wouldn't have missed for the world. And when I think of all the chaps that I did know that didn't make it, and I would hate to see anybody go through it again. It's a different war to the trenches. It was mainly house clearing and the objective to get from point A to point B in a hurry so that we didn't stop the buildup in the beaches. One thing I would never have done is been a paratrooper.
No.
No way. When you see those fellas coming down in the sky dangling and these people taking pot shots at them, blowing their feet off and their legs off. No. Well, that's about it. If there's anything else I can help you with,
okay.
Feel free to give me a whistle. And Earl Shepherd, if you want to see the other, he may have photos. If you want to get the other side, from the tank corps. I know I often kidded Earl and said that I would never have got in a tank and been cooked that way. He says, when you lift the lid of a tank and look at the infantry, you wouldn't want to be down there either.
Yeah.
So